السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ورب زدنا علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 133 to 135 of Surah Ali Imran today. Inshallah, we'll begin with word meanings. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسارعوا. و means and. سارعوا. This is a command and it's plural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people. And we know it's plural because it ends in waw sukun followed by the silent alif. So وَسَارِيُوا, and you all hasten, or you all rush, إِلَى, towards, مَغْفِرَةٍ. مَغْفِرَة means forgiveness. مِن, from, رَبِّكُمْ, your Lord. رَب means Lord or Master or Sustainer. كُمْ, yours. وَا, and, جَنَّةٍ, a garden. Or paradise. أرضها. Earth means with. Ha, it. And the it refers to Jannah. السماوات. Al in the beginning means the. And سماوات is plural for the word سما, which means sky or heaven. And so سماوات means skies or heavens. و and الأرض, the earth. أُعِدَّتْ, it was prepared. The ta at the end, the ta sukun, refers to Jannah. Okay, that's why the female tense is used, because that, the feminine is particle is used for non-living things as well. So أُعِدَّتْ, it was prepared. Li, for, al, the, muttaqeen, those who adopt taqwa. Taqwa is the root word here, and that means God consciousness. Okay, consciousness of Allah. And muttaqi, adding a meme to the beginning of the word taqwa, makes it a noun. Muttaqi is somebody who is God conscious, and ina ending just makes this word plural. So lil muttaqin, for those who are conscious of Allah, for those who adopt taqwa. Alladhina, those who, yunfiquna, they spend freely on others. Okay, or they spend in the way of Allah. Nifaq is the root word, nunfaqaf, and that means to spend. Ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yunfiquna, they spend fi in asarai, the prosperity or the ease. Wa and ad-dara'i, the hardship or adversity. Wa and al-kadhimina, those who suppress or those who restrain. Okay, so ina ending just makes this word plural. So it's not just one person, it's the ones who suppress. Or those who suppress, al-ghayz, the anger or the rage. Wa and al-afina, this comes from the word af, which means forgiveness or to pardon. So afina, those who pardon. Ina ending makes that word plural again. An, from, an-nas, the mankind or people. Wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhibbu, he loves. Hubban is the root word, and that means love. you in the beginning means this word is in the third person. So yuhibbu, he loves, al muhsinin, those who do utmost good. Al in the beginning means the, and ihsan is the root word here. Hasin nun, hasan, which means good, and ihsan means utmost good. And muhsin is somebody who does things to a level of excellence. Ina ending just makes this word plural. So, al-muhsinin means those who do utmost good. Wa ant, al-ladhina, those who, idha, when, fa'alu, they do, or they did. Fa'ala is the root word, and that means to do something. And the waw sukun in the end, followed by the silent alif, means this word is plural. So fa'alu, they did, fa'hishatan, an indecent act or a shameful act. Aw, or dhulamu, they wronged. This comes from the word dhulm, which means injustice. Okay, and the waw sukun in the end, followed by the alif, the silent alif, tells us this word is plural, and this word is a verb. Again, so ظلموا, they wronged, or they did injustice, أنفسهم. أنفس is plural for nafs, which means soul. أنفس means souls, هم, theirs. So it makes sense to just say themselves in English instead of saying their souls. So ظلموا, they wronged, أنفسهم, themselves. ذكروا, they mentioned. This comes from the word ذكر ذال كفر, which means to mention or remember. And واو, followed by the alif in the end, means this word is plural. So ذكروا, they mentioned or they remembered. الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فاستغفروا. Fa is the prefix here, and it means then. And then istighfar is the root word, and that means to ask for forgiveness. Okay, and the waw sukun and the alif in the end again tell us this word is plural. So fastaghfaru, then they asked for forgiveness, or they sought forgiveness. Li, for, dhunubihim. Dhunub is the root word, and that's plural for the word dhamb. Dhal nun ba, and that means a sin. So dhunub means sins, him, theirs. So li dhunubihim, for their sins. Wa, and, man, who, yaghfiru, he forgives. Ghafara is the root word here, which means to forgive or forgiveness. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yaghfiru, he forgives, adhunuba, the sins, illa, except, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and, lam, did not, yusiru, they persist. Again, we know this word is in the third person because it begins with ya and it ends in waw sukun followed by the alif, so we know it's plural. So yusiru doesn't mean he, it means they. So they persist, ala, upon, ma, what, fa'alu, they did, wa, while, hum, they, ya'lamun, they know. Ilm is the root word, ayn, lam, mim, and that means knowledge. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending just makes this word plural. So ya'lamun, they know. Alhamdulillah, that's it for our word meanings for this week. And now, inshallah, we're going to look at the tafsir of these ayat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The next three ayat were revealed to basically remind mankind, okay, of really important things. Things that we should keep in mind. Very important things. And if we connect these ayat to Uhud, the Battle of Uhud that we had been learning about recently, it's because a person can only fight an enemy or an opponent when he has defeated the enemy inside, which is his own nafs, right? If we're not able to overcome our own nafs, then it's hard to fight against any enemy that we do see or that we're aware of. So if someone does not have control over himself and isn't even conscious of what he is doing or what he's saying, that person cannot fight an enemy outside himself. So it's important to work on ourselves first, our inner souls. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِيُوا, and rush. سَارِيُوا means to hurry, to hasten. And that includes competing with one another while rushing. Not just rushing to get things done on your own. So سَارِيُوا is like racing each other to get ahead of each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to race with each other, to rush. Towards what? إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, towards forgiveness from your Lord. So where is this مَغْفِرَة that we should race towards? It's not an actual place that we can rush towards, but it means to rush to do something or to do anything, all the things that lead to forgiveness. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to do here. Okay, He wants us to rush to do things that lead to forgiveness. And also, He tells us to race towards وَجَنَّةٍ and Jannah. And what kind of place is Jannah? He describes it next. أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ, as vast as the heavens and the earth. The scholars explain the word ard in arduha in two different ways. One meaning is the width. Ard means the width of something. So according to that, the width alone of Jannah is as vast as the sky and the earth. And we know that the length is always bigger. When we look at the length of something, it's always bigger than the width. So imagine how big Jannah is. The sky is as vast as we can see. It seems like it's never ending. And now, astronomers tell us that the sky has billions and trillions of stars in it. So many that if someone was to count one star at every breath, that person would die before the stars are all accounted for. And so imagine how vast that sky is that these stars are in. And the earth is huge. We are astonished by the size of the earth. Nobody has ever ruled over the whole earth from one end of it to another. Ever. Nobody. And imagine if someone were to own all of it, as well as the sky. That's how big Jannah is. SubhanAllah. And this is a Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to race towards. Just walking towards it is not enough. We have to rush towards it. Walking would be like following the path to Jannah by doing good things one day, just because we feel like doing those things, and not doing anything the next day, just because we feel lazy or we don't feel like working. That is not running or rushing towards Jannah. So when someone races another person to get somewhere, they work for it consciously. They don't stop in between. They don't take breaks. So we learn that it's not bad when it comes to competing in good deeds to get to Jannah. But the things that normal people compete over are not right. Okay, the things that we compete in, they are not the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to compete in. Because normally, what is it that people compete in? They compete to have bigger homes, nicer clothes, jewelry, careers, or kids who are successful with their education or careers, and with looking nice or being fashionable. Those are things that people typically compete over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shifted our attention towards Jannah. That is what we should be competing for, instead of all these other things. So we should do things that would actually get us to Jannah, and strive to do those things, and get ahead of others on that path. So that was the first meaning of Ard, okay, the width of Jannah. That's how big it is, that the width of it is bigger than the sky and the earth put together. Subhanallah. The second meaning of Ard in Arduha is the price of Jannah. Okay, Thaman, which means the price. The value of Jannah is equal to the earth and the sky put together. Can anyone afford to buy all of the earth and the sky? Nobody. Even when we want, you know, when we plan to buy a small house in this world, in this worldly life, what do? Even after saving up for years, most people usually have to take out loans because they don't have enough money. Imagine owning all of Jannah when it's as valuable as everything in the sky and this earth. Everything put together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this so we can understand how valuable Jannah is. We learn from Hadith that a small place equal to an area occupied by a whip in Jannah or paradise is better than the whole world and whatever is in it. That is how valuable Jannah is. Subhanallah. Even in this life, we know that the nicer an area is, the more expensive it is. So we are told to compete in that field to get to Jannah. But sadly, most Muslims these days compete in the same fields as the non-Muslims, when they don't know anything about Jannah and the hereafter. Should we be acting like them? Why have the Muslims started competing with having grand wedding ceremonies for their kids or owning a lot of property like the non-Muslims do? The Sahaba did not do that. They used to compete with doing more good deeds, giving more in charity in the way of Allah. We have to learn from their example and do the same. Why do we just think about and plan everything for this dunya, which is just the near? This is all we see right now, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it dunya because it's just the near. Okay? There are things that are way more important that we just don't see right now, that we should be working towards. And most of our hopes and dreams are just for here, just for this dunya. How did we forget that we were supposed to be racing for Jannah as Muslims? And how can we guide others if we don't even know ourselves what our priorities should be? When we are so lost, there's no way that we can guide others. We were supposed to guide people till the Day of Judgment, right? We learned all this already. But we have started working hard for these temporary things of this life, like houses and cars and property. And people actually fight over these things, property, when they're supposed to be working hard to rush towards Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to race towards Jannah, wa'idat lil muttaqin, which has been prepared for the righteous people. It is prepared already, it has been prepared. So it is there for sure. It's not that it will be made by Allah when people get there. It's there already. So we should work hard to get to Jannah, which is only for the muttaqeen. And what does that mean? The muttaqeen, or people who have taqwa. That word describes people who are conscious of Allah all the time. They are conscious of him and they are always safeguarding themselves, trying to avoid anything that may anger Allah. Okay, anything that displeases him. They don't want to do it or they don't even want to think about it. Secondly, they don't back out on doing anything that pleases Allah. They don't back out from those things. They don't want to be left out when it comes to any good deeds. They want to do as much as they can because they want Allah to be happy with them one way or another. When they learn about an order of Allah and good deeds that they can do, they don't ask if they have to do them, if it's fard for them to do those things, or if it's okay for them to not do them. Somebody who is muttaqi, somebody who is conscious of Allah, constantly strives to do good deeds. That's all they worry about. Why is it that we forget? Our level of taqwa is high one day and we're pleased with ourselves, and the next day we notice, and like other people's designer handbags or clothing and just these useless things. And how embarrassing is that? That our level of taqwa drops that low the next day. That these insignificant things have become important to Muslims now. How can we waste our lives over these things? Running after these useless things blindly, these worldly things. And we cross Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's limits in an attempt to be the most beautiful among people. Just to appear beautiful to others. Some people are actually jealous of others when they look beautiful. And is it even worth competing to look the prettiest? When people do that, they're not competing in the right fields that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to compete in. Okay, He tells us to compete, to try to get ahead when it comes to seeking forgiveness from Allah, and to rush and strive to get to Jannah. That's what we need to be competing for. So how can people like that get maghfirah from Allah when they're competing in all the wrong things? Now, why is maghfirah important? Because that was the first thing that was mentioned, right? Compete or rush to get to Jannah. Rush to seek forgiveness. And then Jannah was mentioned. It's because people can only get to Jannah if they are granted maghfirah. Okay, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them, then they'll be admitted to Jannah. No matter what anyone does, even if they spend their whole life prostrating before Allah, they cannot fulfill the rights of Allah. So we should seek forgiveness a lot, knowing that we cannot worship Him the way we should, the way He deserves to be worshipped. And that is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for forgiveness. It wasn't that he was sinful, na'udhu billah. Maghfirah is needed first, before we can get to Jannah. So we should try to seek forgiveness all the time. But instead of rushing towards it, we are very slow in trying to seek forgiveness. We should use every opportunity we get to ask for forgiveness so we can just get there. Because Jahannam is the only other option, and we cannot afford to end up in the hellfire. So, race towards Jannah, race towards paradise while we are still alive. Now is the time to do this while we are breathing. And we can still do the dhikr of Allah. We can remember Him. And we have the ability to see and do good and help others before this time runs out. So we should rush to do good deeds instead of waiting for all others to do something first and then copy them. Okay, just because it's easy then, because everyone else is doing it. Rushing to do good deeds means to try to get ahead of people. So we should be the first to do good. We shouldn't waste all our time and energy on things that will not benefit us in the hereafter. So we should really think about what we are racing towards instead of just rushing through this ayah without stopping to reflect. Focus on this ayah this week. Okay, this whole week, just try to think about it and try to figure out what it is that you are rushing towards, because this is very important. And even if you're doing good, are you racing in that way, attentively, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to? Or are we just walking on that path to Jannah, slowly, when we feel like it? And then we stop or slow down a lot otherwise. How badly do we want to get to Jannah? We have to judge for ourselves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O believers, save yourselves and your families from the hellfire. We have to work hard to do that. Hasten to get to Jannah. Show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you really want it. We cannot be lazy about it. U'iddat lil-muttaqeen. It was prepared for the muttaqeen. So now we'll learn about the muttaqeen, how they are, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them starting with the next ayah. When we imagine a person who is muttaqi or conscious of Allah, we think it's probably somebody who worships Allah all the time, who prays all the time, or goes for hajj every year, or does the dhikr of Allah all the time, right? We imagine somebody pious who does all these things all the time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us qualities of the muttaqeen, or the righteous people, that we never really focus on as much as we should. And this ayah makes us realize that. Because the first thing he mentions is, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. They are people who spend generously in the way of Allah, whether they are in prosperity or in adversity. So think about how important it is to do that. That's the first thing mentioned. When everything is going well, and they're happy, they have a lot of wealth, they spend in the way of Allah. And they also spend in the way of Allah when things become difficult. And when they're going through tough times financially, they still take out something to give in the way of Allah. So the muttaqeen give in the way of Allah, whether they are rich or they're poor. The poor are not excused from giving charity. Okay, because a lot of people who are not so well-to-do, they think, oh, well, where am I supposed to give from? Okay, they are still not excused if they think that they don't have enough to give in the way of Allah. Even when they have less or very little, they can give a very small portion of it to someone. It can be money, like a very little amount, or a small amount, or a little bit of food, whatever they're eating, even one bite of it, give to somebody else in the way of Allah. Have that intention that I'm doing this to please Allah. So whatever they can do, they have to try to do too. But when someone who is well off, who is well to do, spends in the way of Allah, they can't just spend a dollar and think it's enough for them to do that too. That person has to spend according to how much they have. Okay, because it's easy for them to spend a lot more. So people have to spend in the way of Allah according to their financial situation. But everyone has to give. Another meaning of this is that they spend in Allah's way when they're happy and when they're facing problems or stressed out. So in both situations, they do that. We usually spend in the way of Allah when we're going through problems, right? We think, oh, well, I should take out sadaqah now, right? Because any calamity, any issue that comes up, any problem, and we remember, like when we get sick, or we are facing any other sort of stress, or when a family member or child goes through problems, we give out sadaqah as soon as something like that happens. Normally, the people who are well-to-do do not think about giving in the way of Allah until a problem arises. The wealthy people forget about Allah, and they don't remember to spend in His way, normally. And those who are less fortunate present the excuse that they don't have enough to give, but they should do it anyway. Okay, even if it's very little, just like we learned. So we are advised to spend in the way of Allah, no matter what condition we are in, because that is what the muttaqeen do. And we want to be considered muttaqeen. According to Allah, we want to be among those muttaqeen people in that list. The second quality of the muttaqeen that we don't really think about often is also very important. And that's wal-kadhimeen al-ghayz. And they control their anger when they're angry. It's natural for everyone to get angry sometimes. So it's not that they never get angry because they're pious. Okay? Because everybody gets angry once in a while. But they control themselves when they're angry. When they hear anything against Islam and they see people sinning around them or doing anything indecent, they do feel angry. They get upset. And as Muslims, we should feel angry. We should feel that way in those situations. When we see people sinning around us, okay, or saying anything against Islam or Allah or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what the muttaqeen do when they feel angry like that, they don't lose control when they're angry. They don't say hurtful things to others or start throwing things or hitting others. Even if that person is doing something wrong, sinning, the person that they're looking at, they don't lose control and harm them just because they're angry with them. Many times people say such negative things when they're angry that their relationship basically ends with the other person. Because the other person is so offended or they're so hurt. We usually get angry when someone says something against us, something bad about us personally. But the Sahaba, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to get angry when people disrespected Islam. However, they stayed within their limits when they were angry. Okay, the way they reacted was in a controlled way. They didn't go around hurting or killing people. That is very important to remember. Okay, because it's one of the characteristics of the pious people that they suppress anger. So we have to try and do this because it is so common nowadays for people to go crazy and they lose control when they're angry. They end up doing things that they regret later on. That's why we hear about all these anger management classes that masajid offer now, many masajid. Because Muslims don't know how to control themselves when they're angry. And shaitan takes over people. When they're angry, when they're upset, he basically takes over to make them do things that they would never do otherwise. He makes them do whatever he pleases. That person totally submits to shaitan when they're angry. And shaitan makes them say or do bad things that they wouldn't otherwise. Anger is like a fire that burns the person from within, as well as others around them. Okay, so they're damaging themselves and people around them when they're angry. And sometimes people end up swearing, cursing, saying bad things, and promising things that they can't do when they're so angry. Okay, like I swear, I'm never going to talk to you again, astaghfirullah, something or the other like that. Even though it's not possible for them to go through with it afterwards. And they don't look or behave nicely, right? When people are that angry, nobody looks nice. That is why we are told to suppress anger. And that means to stay quiet without responding negatively or showing any negative reactions. That is suppressing anger. And it's very important to do that when dealing with family members. And note that restraining anger does not mean that you don't say anything at that time, that you don't respond, but then you hold a grudge against that person or keep thinking about it. Because every time you think about it, you're hurting yourself in the process. Okay, so restraining anger means to ignore, to let go, so you don't get depressed or ill thinking about it constantly, or you don't develop hatred for the other person. Because if you keep thinking about it over and over again, eventually you start wondering, why did this person say that to me? So either you get upset or you kind of start disliking that person or start hating them. So it's not good to keep thinking about it. Just let it go. Try to move on. And that is very bad for our health to hold negative feelings inside. So we should not think about it and just try to let it go. Ignore. Even if you can't forgive them, ignore what happened. And remember that we can be among Allah's favorite people if we repress anger. It's one of those things that makes people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favorite people when they repress anger. And there was a man who visited Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day and he asked him to advise him something, okay, what he should do. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, don't be angry. Then he asked again. He said for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell him something else. And again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the same thing. Don't be angry. And he asked a third time again. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't be angry. Again, don't get angry. Maybe that man used to get upset easily. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him not to be angry all three times. Because that's how important it is. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us about how we can control ourselves when we're angry. And we should learn these things. We should learn about them so we remember when the time comes when we need to do these things. Whenever we're angry, right away, we're supposed to read A'udhu Billah, okay? First of all, because when you seek protection with Allah, when you seek refuge with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. So say A'udhu Billah right away. Sometimes people are so angry that even if someone reminds them to read A'udhu Billah, they say they won't do it. They say, no, I don't need to do it. Astaghfirullah. Because shaitan has taken over when somebody's angry, right? When that person's upset, shaitan has basically taken over. So he easily controls them. The next thing we should do when we're angry is to remain silent. Okay, try to be quiet and leave the place where you're getting irritated. If you are visiting somewhere, or if you're in one room and you know that if you stay there, things are just going to get worse, try to change your location. Just move from there. Go to a different room or go to a different place. Leave that place, okay? And be quiet. The third thing we can do is make wudu, because water puts out fire. And we already learned that anger is like fire. Okay, so make wudu and drink some water also. That helps calm us down and get rid of anger. So these things can help us control ourselves when we get angry. But these tips only help if we want to repress anger. If we feel like we have the right to be angry when we're mad, when we're angry, if we feel like we have to be because we have the right to be, we will not benefit from these tips. So we first have to realize that we are angry and we shouldn't be, right? So read A'udhu Billah. And then the second thing was to remain silent and leave the place where you're getting irritated. And the third thing was to make wudu and drink a little bit of water. So we should remember these things when dealing with our family members, whether it's our kids, or somebody's husband or in-laws, whoever. Just remember that they are all humans and they will do things to upset us one time or another. Okay, but we cannot lose control whenever we're angry. They're not angels. They will make mistakes and we will be upset sometimes. But we cannot start reacting negatively. Of course, we have to realize that we're angry first instead of thinking that we have the right to be angry after whatever happened. We especially have to be careful when dealing with others who are weaker than us. Okay, like our children or our elders or people who won't say anything back to us. Okay, especially people who are under us, like the younger people, like children or older people, or anyone who cannot say anything back to you. And sometimes it can be your servants or people who work for you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it at all when we yell or mistreat anyone who's weaker than us. We don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be angry with us like that on the Day of Judgment. Okay? We don't want to be considered somebody who is unjust for yelling at someone who is weaker than us or not treating them well. So in order to understand what it means to suppress anger, we should take the example of Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu. We know that people used to have slaves, right, or servants in those times. One day, one of his slaves was pouring water to help him make wudu. They didn't have taps with running water, so they used watering cans to make wudu. The pot of water slipped out of her hands and she got Ali radiallahu anhu's clothes all wet, by mistake, of course. And when that happened, he did get angry. And the slave was afraid. So right away, she recited this part of the ayah. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ. And they suppressed their anger. As soon as he heard this, he cooled down. Okay. Next, she said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they forgive other people, which is the next part. So he said to her that he forgave her. She was intelligent. So then she said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those who do utmost good. And then he said, go, I've set you free. SubhanAllah. That teaches us that suppressing anger means to stay quiet when you're angry without reacting negatively and just let it go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes those who suppress their anger. So we should try to do that. And we learn from a Bukhari hadith that a man came to Umar radiallahu anhu when he was the Khalifa. And he said, oh Umar, you don't give us enough money and you are not fair when you decide among us. You're not just. And of course, that was a false accusation. So Umar radiallahu anhu got angry. And he thought of punishing that man. Khur bin Qais radiallahu anhu was there at that time. And he said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, meaning O leader of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khudil afwa wa'mur bil urf wa'arid anil jahileen. Make it a must to forgive people, enjoin the good, and turn away from the ignorant people. So he meant that this guy who was complaining was ignorant. So Umar radiallahu anhu should just ignore what he was saying. As soon as Umar radiallahu anhu heard this ayah that his sahaba, the sahabi recited, he cooled down. So whenever you get angry with someone who is being ignorant, just think that you don't want to stoop to their level. And remind yourself to be afraid of the punishment of Allah. Remember that He is capable of seizing us in a much worse way than we have the ability to seize that other person. And we usually get angry at those who are weaker than us, or those who can't really fight back. So we should be careful not to do that. Because what would happen if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry with us? And we have to suffer on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O son of Adam, remember me when you're angry, and I'll remember you when I'm angry. Subhanallah. And we know that Allah will be extremely angry on the Day of Judgment. So we want Him to be merciful towards us then. So we need to be good to others. Have mercy on others. Okay, when you are in the position of seizing someone, okay, for what they've done, for mistreating someone, when you have the authority, or when you have control over someone, if you are just and you have mercy on them, we can hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also be merciful towards you on the Day of Judgment. But if we are not just with others, how can we hope that Allah will be merciful towards us on the Day of Judgment when we need it the most? Another tip the scholars give us that can help control ourselves when we're angry is to think about how ugly we look when we're angry. Think about dangerous animals, right? Or monsters, like when kids look at monsters, pictures of monsters, they get scared, right? And if you think about an adult who's yelling or screaming, they basically look like a monster, especially to a child. Right? So think about how ugly that person appears at that time. Think about that and maybe look at yourself in the mirror. Okay, that should help us calm down too. When someone suppresses their anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values them. On the Day of Judgment, a caller will say, if Allah owes anyone a reward, that person should stand. And only those who had forgiven someone or had ignored and let go of what others said will stand up at that time. That is great news for those who control themselves. So we can hope to be of those people if we do that. If we pardon people when we are angry. But if these tips don't help us, and we are not able to control ourselves, we should look for anger management classes instead of just continuing to mistreat others around us just because you're short-tempered or you just lose control when you're upset. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those who forgive other people. This is another thing that pious people do. And it's not easy. It's very difficult to do this. If we cannot pardon somebody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted us to retaliate. If someone wrongs you, you can retaliate. But we can't do worse than what they did to us. Okay? That is what we need to remember. For example, if someone smacks you, you can smack them back. Okay? If someone curses at you once, you can say something equal to that in response. But if you do more than what they did to you, you become the wrongdoer. Okay? Then that person is not the zalim anymore, the one who has done injustice, even though they started. Because you did even more to them in response. According to Hadith, if you just do as much harm to the other as they did to you, the person who started is held accountable for whatever happened. And he is the sinful one, as long as they're equal. Okay? Like if two people are arguing, as long as they're equal in saying things to each other, the one who started is sinful for everything that happens during that argument. But if the one who is saying things back in response to the first person exceeds what the first person had said to him or her, then the second person says something worse or a lot more than the first has said to them, then that second one becomes the wrongdoer. Okay? He is not considered the oppressed one anymore once he says something worse than the first one said to him, even though the one who spoke first is the one who started. Right? So the one who is retaliating or responding has to make sure that they do not do or say anything worse than the first person has said to them. But people often forget when they get angry, and they end up saying much worse things than somebody has said to them, somebody who started the argument. So then they end up becoming the zalimeen or the unjust. So we are taught to pardon people if we want to be of the muttaqeen. And that is one of the matters of determination. And it requires great courage and patience. It's not easy to do. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, whoever wants great palaces in Jannah and higher ranks should forgive the unjust who wrongs them. Give to the one who does not give them anything, and connect to the ones who cut off ties or relations with them. And that means the relatives, because we know that we cannot cut off ties with relatives, no matter what. We have to stay in touch with them. After learning all this, let's all try to forgive at least one person for something they've done to us. Okay, whether they did it on purpose or by mistake, just try to forgive them, at least one person. And think about things that make you angry and how you can avoid those things, those situations. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do utmost good. Those people don't just do what they have to do. Okay, like when it comes to prayer, they don't just pray the fard or the obligatory salah. They do more than that. They do good deeds to the level of excellence in a beautiful way. So ihsan means to worship Allah in a beautiful way, in an excellent way, and to be really good in our dealing with others. That's another part of ihsan, not just with the worship of Allah, but also when dealing with others, be really good with others. How can we worship Allah in an excellent way? According to the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, we are supposed to worship Allah as if we can see Him. Okay, imagine that you can see Him. Our salah and Quran recitation would be so much better if we could see Allah, right? We all know that it definitely would be. But we cannot see Him. And if we can't imagine seeing Him when we worship Him, at least we should imagine, or we should know, that He sees us. Keep that in mind. Our salah and acts of worship would be much better then too, if we knew that He is watching us, if we remembered that. So people who worship Him to the level of ihsan are those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. They are the ones he loves. And we have to do ihsan when dealing with other people as well. When it comes to goodness in dealing with others. And that means to give more than the other person has a right to get. Do more for them than they deserve. Just think that it's okay, or if he or she does not fulfill their responsibilities towards me, I'll fulfill mine towards that person anyway. It's okay if they don't give me anything. I'll give them something nice anyway. And if you're selling something and the other person asks you for a discount or to reduce the price a little bit, just do it. Because that will please the other person. And when dealing with people, don't think that the other person does not care about me, so why should I care about them? That's how Shaitan wants us to think, right? That, oh, he doesn't care about me, or she doesn't care about me, so why should I bother? We shouldn't think that way. Okay, because that's not how the muttaqeen think. Just try to do what we can in a good way. That is what it means to deal with others in a beautiful way, in an excellent way, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us. That's what we should do it for. And we should try to apologize when we wrong someone, anyone, when we've done anything wrong to anyone, and forgive others who wrong us. Okay? Don't just keep thinking about it, or don't hold it against them. That way, our matters will be all clear. We won't owe anyone an apology, and nobody would owe us an apology. And that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And read A'udhu Billah as soon as you get upset. And we should rush to do these things, because we learned, Sari'u, rush to do this. Because these things lead to forgiveness and Jannah. And we have to struggle to do this our whole lives, all throughout life. It's not just something we do one time or for a few days and then we forget. It's something we constantly have to do all throughout our lives, because there will always be things that happen to annoy us, one thing or another. Okay? There will be people who say things to upset you. People who make fun of us or say something to offend us. So we should remember to read A'udhu Billah, to drink water, make wudu, leave the place that's upsetting you, change the position you're in. Like, if you're standing, sit down. And if you're sitting, lie down. These were all tips that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. So we can benefit from these points if we remember when we get upset. We have to try to remember them. Okay, not just now, because we're taking notes now, but these things have to benefit us when the time comes, when the need arises. We have to do these things. Then, again, remember the hadith that on the day of judgment, a caller will call out, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owes anyone anything, they should stand up. And the people who forgave others for the sake of Allah will stand up. Because they had forgiven others who wronged them, who did injustice to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them. Subhanallah. What else can we ask for? Do we need anything else if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will basically select us from all those people just because we forgave people for any injustice they did to us? And on the day of judgment, when everyone is going to be desperate to get as many good deeds as they can, right? They're are going to want them. So anybody who had forgiven others for doing anything wrong to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them on that day. Subhanallah. Now for the next ayah, some scholars say that it describes people who are a level below the muhsineen, right? Because we were learning about the muhsineen here in ayah 134. Because it ends with Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are muhsinin, who do utmost good. So some scholars say ayah number 135 describes people who are one level below the muhsinin. They are muttaqeen, those who have taqwa, but one level below those who do utmost good. But other scholars say that this ayah is about the muhsinin, and it's connected to the previous one. It's a continuation. So let's look at it. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً, and those who commit an indecency or a shameful act, أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, or they wrong their own souls, meaning themselves, they committed a sin. Why does it say أَنفُسَهُمْ, that they wrong themselves? Because when people commit sins, they don't harm anyone else. They are just harming themselves. So when they commit a sin or an indecent act, what do? They don't think that it's okay if I did it because it's nothing compared to what everyone else is doing. They don't think that way. And they don't think that it's okay because it just happened once. It's not a big deal. Or that they think that it's okay to keep committing that sin. Instead, people who are muhsinin or people who are muttaqin, what do? When they commit any indecent act or wrong themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, they earnestly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right away, and they seek forgiveness for their sins. They don't wait till they go for Hajj to seek forgiveness, thinking that they'll end up doing it again anyway, so they can't repent yet. They don't think that way. They seek forgiveness right away. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, for no one can forgive sins except for Allah. He is the only one who forgives his slaves. We don't have to go to anyone else to seek forgiveness unless we have wronged someone else. If we have wronged someone, then in that case, we would ask them to go. Then we would ask them to forgive us, right? Then we need to ask them. But otherwise, we just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask Him to forgive our sins. So we should humble ourselves before Allah and repent. From this ayah, we learn that even the muttaqeen, the pious people, can commit sins sometimes. They can do indecent things. They can make mistakes too. Okay? And even commit these fahisha or shameful acts. At times, people don't mean to, but they get carried away by their emotions. Sometimes they end up doing something sinful due to bad company because they're not being sensible when they're around other people, certain other people who are bad influence on them. Okay? When other people around them are doing really bad things, they end up doing something because they're emotional and they end up doing things that they would normally never do otherwise. But all their friends were doing something, so that person got influenced by them. And they realize what they have done afterwards when they come back to their senses. And they feel really bad about it. So they turn to Allah to seek forgiveness right away. However, there are others who commit a sin and then they keep repeating it because they don't really think it's bad. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Okay, with the muttaqeen, He says that they do commit sins sometimes, but they seek forgiveness. And وَلَمْ يُصِرُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, and those who do not knowingly persist in something wrong, which they have done. Like we learned already in Surah Al-Baqarah, بَلَى مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ, and those who commit a sin, and that sin surrounded them, meaning they're caught up in that sin, and they don't remember to do tawbah, to repent afterwards. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Then they are the companions of the hellfire. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they live in it forever. Remember those ayat? The ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the muttaqeen are different. They don't persist in any sin that they've done. So if anyone commits a sin, they're not supposed to continue doing it, thinking that it's no big deal. Right away, we are supposed to turn back to Allah and repent. Don't take it lightly and keep repeating it. It should not become a habit where we keep doing it, thinking there's nothing wrong with it. If anyone persists in sinning and doesn't repent, that one sin can take them to Jahannam. Just one sin. So we should never take sins lightly. And we should never think that there's no need to worry about it. There are people who think it's okay to not cover up properly. And they never dress according to what Islam teaches them to. The way they should be. And they end up dying in that condition. And they think it's no big deal. They are happy being that way. And they don't really bother correcting themselves. But we're not allowed to persist in sinning. In any sin. Because that is a sin. So they've done it over and over and over again. Every single day. And they die in that state. Who knows? That one sin may be enough to take them to the hellfire. Sometimes in the spur of the moment, people commit sins that they don't really intend to, right? And then they seek forgiveness. But to knowingly keep doing something when they know that it's wrong, it means that person is being stubborn and they don't really feel bad about what they're doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the muttaqeen make mistakes sometimes. But they don't make it a habit and they don't persist in that sin. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if someone made something halal for themselves when the Quran says it's forbidden, that person has no iman on the Quran. Meaning that it's as if that person does not believe in the Quran. This means that if the Quran says that something is forbidden and someone says that they don't believe it or don't want to listen to it, that person doesn't believe in the Quran. Whenever someone makes a mistake and sins, they should repent right away. They should never repeat that sin. And what does tawbah or seeking repentance mean? It means to stop sinning and then they can repent. We can't keep committing a sin and keep asking forgiveness. Okay, that is not istighfar. Okay, we can't just keep saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah for something we've done and then not really mean it. And how do we not really mean it? If we keep repeating that sin, if we keep doing it, that is not istighfar. When doing istighfar, we should feel bad about what we did. Okay, feel bad about what we did wrong and turn to Allah. He's waiting for us to turn back to Him and ask Him to forgive us and intend to never repeat that sin. All these things are a part of istighfar, and that is what tawbah is. Okay, a part of seeking forgiveness. And it's necessary to discontinue whatever it was that we did wrong in order to repent, to be forgiven, to turn back to Allah. And when people keep repeating a sin, it increases Allah's anger. Just like when we tell a child not to do something. We tell them nicely once. And if they repeat what they're doing, we remind them again not to do it. But if they keep doing it, what happens? We end up yelling. That is how we incur the wrath of Allah when we keep sinning. He gives us chances and we just keep doing it over and over again. So He gets angrier with us. Another important thing to remember is that we cannot justify what we did wrong. Don't present excuses. Admit that we messed up and then ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to feel bad for the mistakes we've made or the sins we've committed and repent. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا للقوم الكافرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.